Maybe I heard it wrong. Cameron, the last two songs, did you say you write those songs? You wrote those songs? No way, okay. Because I thought that two songs actually describe his spirit now. He's leaving soon. Talk about lighthouse, you know, wonderful shores, you know, freedom, you know. And he's going to enjoy Vancouver for 2 months. And then September starting to rain for the next 10 months. And I hope you really, you know, focusing on study. Is this your last Sunday? Another one. Oh, I was going to say goodbye to you. Well, I just wait then. You see, I asked Miles, are you here? I asked Miles' father-in-law to make this little tiny table so that we can put a beautiful cup here for ourselves, for praise team leader, and for guest speakers. You know, they don't have to put a bottle on the floor and then, you know, kick them in. So this is wonderful, right? I hope you enjoy it. Okay, let's turn to, whoa, it's already up. Romans chapter 6. Before we go on Romans chapter 6, let's go back and revisit the last chapters, especially chapter 5. And Paul, at the end of chapter 5, he lay out the comparison between Adam and Jesus. And of course, there's a similarity, but it also have a huge difference. So he was just telling us in Adam, sin entered the world, how these things work in the past. And I think I already told you. Maybe next slide, please. And there's a difference between in Adam and in Christ. You will see sin entered the world, justification, all those layout in the first few five chapters, especially. And at the end of chapter 5, and Paul was telling us that this is how things working, and this amazing grace. The last PowerPoint, please. That we will see all because of grace, and we have entered into a new relationship with God, no longer facing the wrath of God, but we will be able to enjoy the relationship with God again. And this is a new human race because of grace through faith, acting, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be able to be justified and made righteous again. And this is the end of the chapter 5. And of course, when last time I was talking about grace is far more greater than all the sins that you have committed, no matter how dark they are, how far they have gone, and grace is always bigger, deeper. They can go deeper, further, and to cover all our sins because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And chapter 5 comes to the end of that. But this is a very important to come to chapter 6 to chapter 8. Because Paul is talking about the presentation of the gospel. At the end of chapter 5, he presented the importance of grace, how we can move from one and coming to the end, which is death, to the new life in Christ Jesus. And of course, when he talked about that, a lot of people were starting to scratch their heads and trying to figure out what is the role of sin and what is the role of law again to Christians. And how do we relate to this so-called sin again? And how do we respond to the law again? And that's why Paul was talking about in chapter 6 to 8. Chapter 6, he talked about how we relate to this, to sin and how we should see it in a new light in Christ Jesus. And chapter 7, he was talking about the law. And then chapter 8, he's talking about the new life in Christ Jesus through the power of our Holy Spirit. So he laid out all this because this is a very important point when it comes to this. Chapter 5, Paul finished, so-called finished presenting the gospel and how we can be saved. But there are two questions that he must answer because that is, we come to a point like a make or break point. Because if he doesn't answer these two questions particularly, and our whole gospel will collapse, and we will get into a lot of misunderstanding about the gospel, about the grace, about the law, about the sin, how we relate to all these things. So he started with chapter 6, very important, that he need to address these two questions right away so that the people will not get confused or misunderstand what is happening if we become a Christians. And then he move on and talk about how do we have a related to the law in chapter 7 and what kind of struggles we have as a Christians. And then chapter 8, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us that we can continue to live a life that will glorify God. So chapter 6, do you have a Bible? Please turn to your Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1. Paul presented as a question to the audience. So when he was writing this, he already assumed people will ask these questions. Even if you don't ask, he needs to tell you right away. This is an important component of the whole thing because he needs to make this clear to all his audience that what is our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and how we related to sin again, all these things, so that he comes in and say, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So this is the first question that he asks us, because people will ask, if grace is so wonderful and so powerful, and you will go further and deeper to the dark world that we live in, you know, even today, 21st century, human trafficking is so overwhelming, even though we try to close our eyes, we don't want to hear, but this is the worst time in human history in terms of human trafficking. There's a lot of problems in our world that we choose to not to see it. But in reality, we are in a no good situation. We are not better than 2,000 years ago. Even though we have more educations, we have more technologies, but at the same time, our heart is still very, very dark. But Paul said that our grace, God's grace, will go further and deeper and cover all these sins if we accepted Jesus. So the question people will ask, if this is the case, then I should continue to stay in, you know, being a non-Christian and enjoy the grace of God and just continue to sin. So this is the question he needs to answer right away. The second question, if you look at the Bible, which is in verse 15, please turn to verse 15, you will see that this is the second question that he asked. The reason he asked, because he knows people will ask these questions, and then he needs to figure this out for you and for me. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? So this is another question. If you look at verse 1 and verse 15, they look very similar. It talks about sin. It talks about, should we continue to live in it? Or whatever, should we sin because of grace? Now we are no longer under the law, so does that mean that we can continue to sin? So if you look at these two questions, I want to suggest to you that they are not same in nature. Even though they're similar, but they are actually support each other to complete the picture. The first question Paul was asking is about, should we continue to live under the domain of sin? Because the verse 2, he talks about we are no longer live in it. So he was not talking about a behavior, a sin that you commit. That is 15, verse 15. So verse 1, he was talking about, shall we continue to live under the control, the domain of sin, so that we can see more grace of God? So that is the questions he asked in verse 1. And then verse 15, he said, shall we continue to sin? Now this is a verb, that we continue to sin now that we are under grace. So he needs to answer these two questions. So fundamentally, he needs to answer question 1. Are we still living? Should we continue to live in the domain of sin? And that, of course, his answer is no. And we should not, because he said, verse 2, by no means we died, it's past tense, we died to sin, how can we live in it anymore? So he's talking about a domain, you know, you should not live in that domain anymore. because we already died to sin. And then your question is, what does it mean I died to sin? I'm still sinning. And so what does it mean to die to sin? So this sin is talking about not actual behavior. As I repeat again, this is the sin in the scriptures always, not always, but a lot of time refer to either a domain, a control, or an actual behavior, a thought life. You know, you sin, commit a sin. So right here, Paul was talking about, in the especially the first 10 verses, he was talking about the domain, the control, that are we still living in this control of sin? So he said that, no, you died to sin. How can we live in it anymore? That means you no longer, since you die, you no longer belongs to that domain. Very simple. When you die, when I die, how do people describe death today? We are leaving these four dimensions. We are no longer. So the living cannot contact you, suppose, after you pass away. Four dimensions, you know, time and, you know, with height. You know what I'm talking about. So when you die, that means you are leaving this domain and you no longer be contacted by the living. So when Paul was talking about you die to sin, he was talking about you are no longer living in that domain. You are no longer belong to him, to it, the power of sin. So he used verses 3 to 10, roughly around 10. These verses talk about two things. One is the baptism. Okay, this passage, a lot of pastors will use it for baptismal service. And I use it a few times. But this passage is not talking about baptism. Paul is using it as illustrations. It's an easy way for us to understand. So this is not talking about you should baptize, otherwise you are still living under the sin domain. He just used this as to illustrate how we die to sin and then live again. So he was talking about baptism, and then later on he moved on to the cross, of course, because baptism, a lot of people believe it's a symbolic but signify a spiritual important things that happen in our lives that we did not see in our eyes, with our eyes. So we use baptism, you know, going through the water and come back up, and thank God, you know, our pastor always bring you back up, you know, even though he might hurt his back, but he's still, oh! I did that a few times, you know, a day after, my back was hurt because I baptized some big people and very tall too sometimes. So anyway, this is a visual. We see how we connect with our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, because ultimately, the baptism, it just let us see what happens spiritually, so-called. We identify with Christ on the cross. Union, the word union was used in this passage. The word means something like, you know, they're born together and implant by somebody. If you are good in gardening, you know, some people will, you know, implant a branch to a tree, right? What do you call that? Craft? Oh, thank you. So definitely, I'm not a gardener. So the idea is just you join together and then you become one. So the word union, in some verse scriptures, versions, we use the word union. Just like husband and wife, come together, become one. So on the cross, we die with Christ. So that was the idea that we need to grasp when Paul said that we die to sin so that we no longer live under the domain of sin, the power of sin, because we identify, we united with our Lord Jesus Christ as he died on the cross, buried, and resurrected on the third day. So Paul was talking about that in the whole chapter, especially not the whole chapter, the first passages, and talks about the importance of letting us see we are no longer living under the domain of sin. Because this is a very important concept that you need to grasp, I need to grasp, because our destination, Our destiny has changed. And then, did I miss something here? Because last time someone told me that I made a mistake, spelling mistake, right? Did I correct it? Can you go back? One more. Maybe I already corrected. I can't remember. Anyway, I just want to continue to talk about this. In chapter 6, it's very important we see that we are no longer belongs to the power of sin. Because this is very important. Then you say, Pastor, it's not true because I still sin. You see, Paul knows that. He continued to address these issues. So verse 11 is a very important verse. Please turn to verse 11. So he kind of presented the importance of the baptism and then symbolized and signifies the importance of the cross and how we accept Christ, we die, we bury, and then raise with Christ by faith. And then in verse 11, very important 11, verse 11, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, you see? In the same way, meaning that just like Jesus died on the cross, in the same way, he was conquered by sin once when he submitted himself and died on the cross. So he submitted himself under the power of sin just once, and he was raised again and overcome the power of sin. And because of that, count yourself also dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, the verb count is present tense. It's not talking about one-time thing, you know, when you accepted Christ, you just count yourself, you consider yourself just once. But Paul says that this is ongoing situation. You need to count yourself every day. You have to know and to accept you are no longer under the power of sin. You are no longer his slave. So he continued to move on to another passage. So as you see, Paul was talking about a very important concept that we count ourselves. This is a daily choice. I would say every day a moment comes, you and I make a choice. Do you still allow sin to control us? And I think this is a very important concept that we need to grasp. Are we still allowing, even though we are no longer under the power, the control of sin? But do you still allow yourself live under it? So Paul talked about verse 11. Count yourself, ongoing, keep going, doing it every day. In verse 12, please turn to your Bible. Verse 12, and then you will see that he is talking about in real life, practical situations. So first he lay out this concept. You know, we are no longer, our identity has changed. We are no longer under the power of sin. And now we are under who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 12, he make a very important statement. Therefore, because of that, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not let sin reign in the mortal body. The verb also in present tense. Meaning that, of course, it's not just past, as I said. This is an ongoing battle, a spiritual battle you and I confront every day, every moment. I know people don't like the word battle, war going on, spiritual war, all these things. But in reality, it is true. We just ignore all these things, just like we ignore human trafficking, all those a lot of human problems that we choose not to face every day. It is true that we are facing this spiritual battle every day. We have to make this choice. And Paul, using the very strong attitude, so-called, he commands us to continue to treat ourselves as we are living in Christ, not in sin. So verse 12, he talks about this important transition. You know, we are no longer under the power of sin, so that because of that, our body, you and I, are no longer the tool to sin against God. First, he made a huge announcement, affirmation. We are no longer under sin. We are no longer under the control of sin because we identify, we find union with Christ on the cross. Now, how do we respond to this everyday sinning? And we're going to move on to that very soon. And this is the reality we are facing. Brothers and sisters, after becoming Christians, many of us feel that we are in a bad, you know, not better situation. We are in a worse situation. Meaning that we live like in two worlds. A world under Christ, we are in Christ, under his lordship. But at the same time, we live in this world, physical world. Many of us have these struggles. Struggle living in these two tensions. The tension between these two worlds. A world that we are supposed to be in. But at the same time, we are still struggling with the old world because the old self supposed crucified with Christ, but we still have these habits, old habits. What are we supposed to do? The struggles that we are facing is real. It's every day we have to make this choice. But brothers and sisters, as we move on to verse 15, talks about we are no longer a slave of sin, but we are, what? Servant. Use more easier term. We are servant of God. No longer slave of sin. You see, Paul did not say that. You have to listen to this carefully. Paul did not say that when we stay away, when we accept Christ, we are no longer under the power, the control of sin, and then means we choose to move to becoming the slave of Jesus, of God. Look at the scriptures. Paul never said that we make that choice. Meaning, either you are standing here under the power of sin, but when you accept Christ, you automatically move to this side. You do not say, I accept Christ and I choose to go to this side. Because if you choose, you might choose in the middle. Many of us, we struggle because we try to choose to stay in the middle. There's no wall between the two so that you can sit on the wall and say, sometimes I enjoy this, sometimes I enjoy that. When you leave, when you make a choice to accept Christ, you already automatically come to this side. I think this is very important because otherwise you may think that I truly have freedom. And scripture seems to, Paul suggests that we have no true freedom. Either you are slave of sin or you're a slave of Christ. So Paul did not say that, oh, thank you. Now that you are no longer slave of Jesus and slave of sin, and thank you, you have chosen to be slave of Jesus. He didn't say that. We do not truly have free will. I hope you understand that. Unless you believe that we pop up from nowhere. You know, we are our monkeys, our relatives. Then you may say, well, yeah, I have my freedom. But no, we are created. We are created by God. We have a master. We have a creator. So if you are no longer live under the power of sin, you automatically come home to Christ, to God. I think it's very important. Do you know why it's important? Because I don't want you to feel that you can choose to stay in the middle. There's no middle for you to choose from. Look at Paul, how to answer verse 15, the questions. You see, a lot of Christians think that we are under grace, So if I sin, God is going to forgive me no matter what. Right? Do you believe that? You don't, or you don't want to tell me you do? You see, a lot of time, I thought about that too, as a pastor. I thought about that as a Christian. I thought about that, oh, well, if I sin, God's going to forgive me anyway because He's gracious, you know, His grace is greater than my sin, you know. So just let my emotions go wild, you know, just bam, 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 and, you know, say something really bad and do something really bad, and then, oh, God, please forgive me, you know, because I know you will forgive me. So this is how we feel sometimes. But Paul said, no, you should not be like that. A lot of time we choose to do that because, you see, the danger is, if you go back to the few chapters, how did Paul address the Jews? The Jews had what? The law. The Jews had circumcisions. So they said, we are God's people. No matter what we did, no matter how bad we were, God is going to forgive us and redeem us and accept us back. You see, we have this danger thinking the same thing and doing the same thing, thinking, believing God's grace is big enough to cover all my sins, so might as well just do something. And verse 15, let's read verse 15 again. Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Shall we sin now that we are no longer under the law and no longer under the sin? No, Paul said no, because you are no longer a slave of sin. Now you are under the true master of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. It's a natural, it's a freedom, true freedom, because now that we are not bound to sin and we are not bound to this destination, which is death, but now we are accepted Christ, we have accepted Christ, we are under sin, no longer under sin, we are under grace. So our destination is eternal life. So even though we seems we have no choice between slave of sin or slave of God, but the destination tells us it's different. It's huge different. The last verse of chapter 6. The wages of sin is death. But in Christ, we have eternal life. And I think this is a very important that we need to grasp this. But Paul, at the end, I want you to see that. Paul, at the end, did not say that, no, we accept that, we are doing fine, just try to, you know, live a life that will get God happy, you know, all these things. In verse, in the last part of chapter 6, you will see, he was talking about sanctification, a new life, something that we need to do. He did not end this chapter and saying that, wonderful, we have a new identity with Christ, and then just keep going, doing something good. He expects us to be good. He expects us to do something that will please God. And this is a journey. He's talking about this is a journey that we need to continue to take on. Yes, we are still sinning sometimes, from time to time, but we are not bound to do that. We are not bound to, just like a writer says, Christian may sin, but the fact is that he no longer must sin. Because this power of the sinful human life in Adam is destroyed. Let me repeat it one more time. The Christian may sin, but the fact is that he no longer must sin. Because this power of the sinful human life in Adam is destroyed. Brothers and sisters, Paul expects us to continue to move on to be more like Jesus Christ. Not just accepting this wonderful grace of salvation, but he expects us to continue to move on. And we need to do that as Christians. We cannot just stop saying, I'm fine, I'm doing really good, I'm no longer under sin, wonderful news. But Paul actually expects us to continue to do something pleasing to God. It's a journey. You and I are not there yet, but we should continue. And I think this is a very important teaching that he wants us to see. In verse 22, let's read verse 22. Then you will see, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slave to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Reap leads to holiness. So we should continue to live a life that will be pleasing God. Please don't get by into that concept. You know, grace is sufficient, grace is great, grace is wonderful. So that, you know, from time to time I can continue to give myself a break. You know, I sin against God, I sin against people, and then I just come back. There's no such thing. I give you an illustration to sum up all this. Maybe you are kind of lost, but I hope this illustration will help you to get the idea. How many of you have dual citizenships? Dual citizenships. You might have one or two. Three. Okay, some of you have dual citizenships. You know, your grandparents, most of you, speaking as from a Hong Kong background, so many grandparents, maybe your parents, they have a Hong Kong citizenship even though they become a Canadian. You see, after they become a Canadian, they still eat Chinese food. We still do, right? So we still live like a Chinese, but I'm a Canadian. And so when you were born in Hong Kong, you have a Hong Kong ID card, you can get a Chinese government issue, a special card that you can go back to China. Very simple, very easy. Then you can go back to China. So a lot of our parents or grandparents, they go back to Hong Kong, you know, they update their ID, you know, they're still Hong Kong citizens, and they get this call from issued by the Chinese government. And then they can go back to China anytime. So it's very, very simple. And they just love this call, you know, because they can take a lot of easy steps to go back to China, and they just live there, do anything, and then until they get into trouble, then they take out what? Canadian passport. How did you come into China? Okay. I use Hong Kong ID card. Also, now you're in trouble. You take out the Canadian passport. You see, a lot of time, we take advantage of having two identities. We have a Canadian passport, and then we have a Hong Kong citizenship ID card, which bring us a lot of benefits. Or Macau, I know, even more benefits. So we take advantage of both. We hold on to two and just see which one give me more benefit, you know, make it life easier. You see, Paul here talks about when we have this heavenly citizenship, you cannot at the same time hold on to this so-called citizenship of what? Under the power of sin. At the same time, just enjoy two and just see which one will give you more benefit at that moment in time. But in reality, we do that all the time. We take advantage of all these wonderful things. Because we're so smart. We think we are smart. So we think, well, you know, Hong Kong car, Macau ID card, you know, and then Canadian citizenship. Oh, wonderful passport. So might as well just use them. I'm nothing against your Hong Kong ID, okay? I'm just using it as an illustration to express this holding on to citizenships. It's no-no in a spiritual sense. I just want you to get that. You are either under the power of sin or under the power of God. You cannot just say, I'm in the middle, I'm holding on to both, and I just enjoy my Christian life. There's no such thing. That's why Paul needs to address these two questions. You are no longer, I am no longer under the power of sin, so that we don't have to sin. Not because you have grace, I have grace, so we can sin more. Question number two. Because we are, what? We are, it belongs to Christ now. And all these things, all this thinking does not make sense. If you continue to hold on to both and thinking that you can live a life like that, you are simply in trouble. Let's pray, and God asks us to continue to move forward to be more like Jesus Christ. That's why Paul has not finished the book of Romans. Let's pray together. Our Father, I want to give you thanks for today. Thank you for Paul. Not only he presented the gospel, how we can be saved, how we can be in Christ Jesus. Not only he tells us that we are no longer under the power of sin, no longer submitting our salvation, our righteousness under the law. He knows we have problems, we have questions. How do we address this continued reality of sin and the temptation that we have every day? And how do we address the law? Something we try to earn salvation, this attitude, by doing good things. Lord, we thank you for chapter 6, and then chapter 7, chapter 8, he's going to address all these issues that we have in our hearts, in our mind. Lord, we ask you to help us as we have chosen to follow our Lord Jesus. Because of that, now we are, thank God that we are no longer become and continue to be the slave of sin, but now we have become the slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for coming home, for allowing us to come home, to serve you and come home so that we will have a final destination just to be with you forever. Lord, we thank you for all this wonderful truth that Paul presented to us. Lord, pray that as we live our lives every day, just like Paul encouraged us to make this choice to live a life that will please you. We are not choosing to stay either in under the power of sin or under the power of God, but we choose to live a life that will please you. Allow us to continue to draw strength from you, our Holy Spirit. Help us to live a life that will please you every day. Lord, we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.